Amen. Thank you, Matt. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18 this morning. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, again, always bring your Bible with you because sometimes I can't get everything in your notes. I try to, but sometimes I can't always pull that off. And so Jesus has been talking to the crowd that's following him, and he's been teaching them about what's coming. The cross is coming. He's been also teaching them about his second coming. And so kind of in that context, he begins to talk about the importance of prayer this morning in chapter 18. And this is what I believe. I believe most Christians really do want to live godly lives. I believe most Christians really do want to live for God. And so we're going to kind of talk about that, because if you're really wanting to live a godly life, and you're really wanting to love God and live for God, prayer has to be a critical element in your life. You cannot have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ unless prayer is an intimate part of your life. And so godliness, it begins with prayer. And Jesus gave his followers two examples concerning prayer in chapter 18 in the following parables, and we're gonna look at one of those today. Today we're gonna talk about a parable of a helpless widow and an unrighteous judge. Have you ever been at a place in your life where you felt like you were being robbed and you couldn't do anything about it? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like you were just being ripped off and there was nothing you could do about it? That's where this widow was. We don't know exactly what's going on here, but we know that she's being treated unjustly. Someone's taking advantage of her, and she's going to this judge for help. Okay, now back then, in those times, much like our times today, a judge's primary responsibility was to seek justice, right? He would arbitrate between two parties and bring justice to bear in that situation. That was his job, but it was especially his job in the case of widows, because they could become destitute if their husband died and there weren't children there to take care of them. They could become destitute just like this back in those day and time. And so one of the judge's greatest responsibilities would be if a widow is being taken advantage of, and we could go into a whole ton of different examples of how that happened back in that day that I won't get into now, but if she's being taken advantage of, this dude's job is to bring justice to bear in her situation. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Pray at all times. And Jesus is saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And in that same city, there was a widow, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while, the judge was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God and I do not respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what that unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, his children, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Look back at verse 1 for a moment with me, if you will. Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times, circle that in your notes this morning if you're taking notes, at all times they ought to pray. Underline that phrase, "they ought to pray." Jesus is saying at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus is saying here, "I want you to pray in every circumstance. I want you to pray all day long in good times and in bad times. I want you to pray no matter whatever else is going on in your life. You ought to pray. You ought to pray at all times, which leads us to point number one this morning. Growing in godliness requires consistent prayer. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to grow in your walk with the Lord, if that's really a goal of yours, then growing in godliness requires consistent prayer. And so Jesus is telling his disciples that they should pray at all times. You see, good communication, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything you don't understand. Good communication is one of the keys to effective relationships. Every time I do marriage counseling, I marry a lot of young people. And every time I do marriage counseling, one of the things that I teach them is how to communicate effectively with your spouse, how to communicate with love and with respect with your spouse, how to listen to your spouse. Andrea's still trying to teach that to me, but I'm trying to pass it on to young people so they don't make near the mistakes that I've made in 30 years of marriage. But I will say this, in 30 years of marriage, Andrea and I have an amazing marriage, okay? And so she's been training me, and I've been learning. I've been getting more and more things right, and God has blessed us. And because she's an amazing woman of grace, we have an amazing marriage after 30 years. But good communication is one of the keys to effective relationships, especially in your relationship with God. Now, in other religions, all other religions that I know of, prayer is where a deal is made. The individual praying is attempting to bargain with God in exchange for the answer they seek. And they are attempting to change the will of the God they are praying to. And last but not least, they must prove their worthiness to the deity from which they are seeking favor. Bottom line, there's a transaction that takes place, and it works like this. Give enough, do enough, and perform well enough, and you're request might be fulfilled. That's how prayer works in other religions, but not in Christianity. Prayer with God is completely different than that. I'm going to give you some things to note about prayer, some things that we tend to do sometimes, and you might want to write these down. God does not make deals. God's not going to make a deal with you. The deal is, you either follow him and his word or you don't. Okay? God doesn't make deals. Number two, God cannot be bribed. Number three, he will not be manipulated. Number four, he has no need for anything you can offer him. God has no need for anything Chris Irving can offer him. And number five, we cannot instruct him. We cannot instruct him on anything because he already, according to Scripture, knows our hearts completely, and he is the sovereign God of the universe. And yet, don't miss this, he loves us and welcomes us into his presence through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace, meaning God does for us what we could never do for ourselves to help us in our time of need. That's what the word grace means. And the Bible says, listen to this, in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to him saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Now I want you to underline that sentence, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. God loves you so much, listen to this, that he doesn't just invite you into his presence, but he actually draws you into his presence. And one of the ways he does that is through prayer. The Bible teaches that God created you to enjoy a personal relationship with Him. In fact, Jesus says that's the highest priority of your life, to enjoy a personal, intimate, love relationship with the Lord God. Jesus said it this way. He said this is the number one purpose for your life in Matthew 22 and Luke chapter 10. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so prayer to God is not just a way to bend His will to ours, to try to get God to come along with us. God expects us to go with Him, not Him come along with us. And prayer to God is a vital part of experiencing His loving presence in our lives. And Jesus wanted His disciples to experience this love and this presence of God in their lives on a daily basis. And that's why He's sharing this parable with them in Luke chapter 18. I love what Tony Evans points out in the Journey Group study we're doing right now. He says, and I believe I put this in your notes, Satan wants you to think, if you pray more, if you give more, if you serve more, and if you sin less, maybe God will give you more. Don't miss this last part. This shifts the focus from God and what He's already done for you in the spiritual realm and puts the focus on you and what you need to do in the physical realm. And Satan wants to shift the focus away from the relationship that you have with God. Satan always wants to shift the focus away from what's right. He always seeks to shift the focus away from what's true. For instance, when God said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for a man to be alone, I will make a helper suitable for him. Did He make a man or a woman? He made a woman. When He said it's not good, Genesis 2:18, when it's not good for a man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him, He didn't make another man. He made a woman to be the man's helper, and so that the man and the woman could come together and populate the earth. Can a man and a man come together and populate the earth? No. Can a woman and a woman come together and populate the earth? Again, the answer is no. But Satan always takes the truth and turns it upside down. And he wants to shift the focus away from the relationship that you have with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to this man-made works system, because he knows that you and I can never be good enough on our own to get to God. He knows that you and I will never be good enough on our own to relate to God. And all the major religions, except Christianity, claim you get to God. They claim you get to heaven. 4 out of 5 claim that it's by what you do. Christianity claims that it's by what Jesus did. Romans 5:8, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the God of the Bible is a relational God that desires an intimate love relationship with you based on His grace and your faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-10, and Romans 11:6. In fact, Romans 11:6 says, you add works to grace, then grace is no longer grace. You've just canceled grace. And I'd rather get to God by His grace any day than trying to get there on my own works. But Satan wants to turn all that around. And yet Jesus wants you and I to experience His love and His presence in our lives in a very real and personal way. But in order for that to take place, you have to spend time with Him. If you want to have a relationship with someone else, you have to spend time with them. Amen? I mean, you have to. You have to spend time with God in His Word. in His truth. You have to spend time with God in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, in His family. You weren't just called to believe, you were called to belong. God created the church, man didn't. That wasn't man's idea. The church is God's agenda for the world. The church is Jesus Christ's chosen strategy to reaching the world so that the world can be forgiven and be saved. But if you're going to have an intimate relationship with God, you can't just show up on Sundays. You got to remain in prayer continually, consistent. You have to learn to communicate with Him on a daily basis. After meeting Andrea, I asked her out on a date. And I had serious competition because there were three other guys. She was dating a guy at the time, and then there were three other guys wanting to ask her out. And so I asked her out on a date so I could get to know her better. And I asked her to go to the Texas OU game with me. And I'll never forget my mom saying this. She said, "Chris, I think you're going to marry this girl." And I said, "Well, what makes you think that?" She said, "Because all the years you've gone to the Texas OU game, you've never once taken a girl." And I don't remember what I said. Something about her, she has a great personality or something, right? That's probably not what I said, but Andrea will listen to this later, so we'll go with that. But you see, I knew if I wanted to really build an intimate love relationship with this young woman, I needed to spend time in her presence. I needed to be with her, and I needed to learn to communicate with her. I'm still learning. She's still teaching me how to communicate with her. But the more I did that, the more I learned to love her and enjoy her. And it's the same in your relationship with God. If you ever want to learn to love God and enjoy God, you have to spend time with Him. And now here Andrea and I are, 30 years later, in this amazing relationship together. I wake up every morning and thank God for her, and I go to bed every night and thank God for her. And every night before I go to sleep, I say, "Andrea, I love you. You're my best friend." So here we are 30 years later in this amazing relationship with each other, but we had to be together. We had to spend time together. And we had to learn to communicate with each other. And that's what Jesus wants for His disciples. Listen, He knew tough times were coming. But if they learned to pray consistently, even though He would leave them, they could still enjoy this intimate relationship with God the Father through the person of the Holy Spirit that the Father would send to indwell them, John 14:26. Which leads us to point number two. Number one, growing in godliness requires consistent prayer, but growing in godliness also requires persistent prayer. Look at verses 1 through 7. Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Underline that sentence, not lose heart. And then He goes into this deal about this judge, and He says, in this certain city there was a judge, and this judge didn't fear God, and he didn't respect man. And in the same city there was a widow, and she kept coming to Him. Underline that phrase. She kept coming to Him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while He was unwilling, but afterwards He said to Himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming to me, she will wear me out." And then Jesus says, "Did you hear what that righteous judge said? Now will not your God bring about justice for His elect who cry out to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them?" And Jesus knows the cross is coming. Listen to this. He knows the cross is coming, and He knows this sense of loss and defeat is going to be overwhelming for his disciples. They're going to be overwhelmed with feelings of despair and defeat. And after he dies on the cross, there would be 3 long days of silence and fear for the disciples. Have you ever gone through a silent time with God? I have. I've gone through times when I could not hear God speaking to me. I went through such a brutal time in my life, I couldn't even make the words of this Bible come up off the page and stick in my mind. But through that time, the Lord, by His grace, allowed me, regardless of my feelings, to keep putting 1 foot of faith in front of the other. And so growing in godliness requires persistent prayer. There's going to be long days of silence and fear coming for these disciples. And even after the resurrection, they would face threats and they would face persecution. And just like this destitute widow, they would need to persist in asking God to provide for them. And though everything seemed hopeless at the time, Jesus was telling them, do not lose heart, but continue to pray. Continue to cry out to God consistently and persistently. And listen, it's not a matter of the more you pray, the more you get. It's a matter of walking by faith. It's not a system of the more you pray, the more you're going to get. It's a matter of continuing to walk in faith. Because if a dishonorable and unloving judge would finally provide justice for this widow, Jesus is assuring them that their honorable and loving Heavenly Father will certainly bring justice to bear in their lives. Put another way, if shame, and that's what the judge is really dealing with. If you go back to the original text, the original language, this phrase, wear me out in verse 5, means shame. And so the widow is shaming the man over and over because he's not doing his job. He didn't care about anybody but himself. But he's being shamed. And he's thinking, this woman's wearing me slick. I don't want to be shamed in front of everybody anymore. And so Jesus says, man, if shame would lead an unloving and unrighteous judge to seek justice for this widow, then how much more would love of your loving and heavenly and righteous Heavenly Father grant justice to His children? And so Jesus has been telling His disciples that there's going to be some really dark days ahead, but I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep seeking God. I want you to do it consistently and persistently and never, ever lose heart. Yeah, but Chris, when life gets dark and begins to overwhelm you, how do you do that? I've been there. How do you do that? How do you keep praying and how do you keep seeking God when you feel like everything is falling apart? By faith. By faith. You let go of your feelings and you walk by faith. You keep putting 1 foot in front of the other. On my dad's last day, he said, Chris, I don't think I can. He wanted to go to the bathroom, so I got behind him. And he didn't want to use the wheelchair, he wanted to use his walker, so I got behind him and I said, all right, Dad, I'm right behind you. And after he came out of the bathroom, he said, I don't think I can go anymore, and so I got behind him and I locked my arms in this position. And I said, I got you. But I need you to do something. We got to get across this hallway and into that bed. Dad, I got you. I am not going to let you fall. You may slip, you may stumble, but I'm not going to let you fall. But I need you to put 1 foot in front of the other. Just focus 1 foot at a time, Dad. Put 1 foot in front of the other, and I'm going to get you to that bed. And he did. I don't know how long it took us to get there. Just across the hall into a bed. But he put 1 foot in front of the other. And we made it to the bed. And he didn't fall. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, you're going to encounter some dark times. You're going to encounter some dark days. But I've got you. I've got the strongest arms in the universe. And no matter what happens, I'm not going to drop you. No matter what happens, I'm right here with you. And I want you, by faith, I want you to keep moving past your feelings. And by faith, I want you to continue to trust me and put one foot in front of the other. Number one, growing in godliness requires consistent prayer. Growing in godliness also requires persistent prayer. And growing in godliness requires faithful prayer. It requires faithful prayer. It requires letting go of your feelings and your fears. I'm not saying that they just automatically poof go away, but I'm saying you place the priority on faith, not on your feelings and not on your fears. You may still have those same feelings, but you place the priority in faith, and you put one foot in front of the other. You let go of your feelings and you face your fears one faithful step at a time, one faithful prayer at a time. In closing, look back at verse 8. Jesus says, I tell you that my heavenly Father will bring about justice for them quickly. That's the given, by the way. That's what Jesus is saying. This is a given, okay? However, here's the real question. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? One commentator says this, the question isn't about God's willingness to be just. Jesus has already shown the disciples that's a given. The real question is about our willingness to persevere by faith based on God's word. So let me ask you a question in closing this morning. When life seems dark and you feel hopeless, how do you know that you're still walking by faith? How do you know that you're still walking by faith and not following your feelings? Answer, don't miss this. You're believing and acting on His word and for His glory. Don't miss what I'm telling you. Make sure you hear this. When times get tough and the days get dark, how do you know you're walking by faith and not being led along by your feelings? Because you're believing and you're acting on God's word and for His glory despite all of your fears and all your feelings. Bottom line, you know, listen to this, you know you're walking by faith. Listen to this, don't miss this. When you're still boasting in the Lord during your darkest moments. And Jesus is assuring His disciples that His heavenly Father will bring justice. That's the given. But the real question is, when He returns, will He find them walking by faith? When He returns, will He find us? Will He find you and I walking by faith? Will you join me in prayer this morning? Maybe you're watching today and you would like to receive God's truth about how you can never work your way to heaven. No matter what you do, it'll never be good enough because God is a holy and righteous God. But God Himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to make up for all your mistakes. Maybe today you'd like to quit trying to work real hard and make all your sins go away. And you would just like to accept God's free gift of eternal life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this after me. And you may be here with us this morning. You may be watching on Facebook Live or streaming through our website, whatever it is. And you need to understand that these words are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize today that you are the God of the universe and the Savior of the world. And today I want to trust in you. I want to trust in you. I want to trust in your sacrifice that you made on my behalf on the cross. And I want to trust in your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of mercy and forgiveness. Today I'm asking for your mercy and forgiveness, and I'm asking for the power to turn from my sins and the grace to submit to your authority. And so, Father, forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. I'm ready for you to be the Lord of my life. I'm ready for you to be my Savior. And I'm ready to start abiding in you, to make my home in you, literally where my heart is at home in you and your heart is at home in me. And I thank you for loving me enough to die for me and save me from my sins and make me a child of God. Or maybe you're watching today and you might want to say a prayer of rededication somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, help me to begin to understand how much mercy and grace that you've had to show me. We don't condemn people who struggle with homosexuality. We love enough to share the truth. Because the Bible says when you know the truth will set you free. So Father, forgive me when I start doing things my own way. And show me the areas in my life where my heart is far from you. And forgive me when I think I'm better than other people. Because I'm not. I'm in the same boat with everybody else. We all need forgiveness, we all need mercy, and we all need grace. And teach me what it looks like to understand that and to live in that. And teach me, Lord, what it looks like to deny my self-centered ways and take up my cross daily and follow you. And teach me what it looks like to communicate with you daily in prayer. And teach me what it looks like to walk by faith daily in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time that we've had to worship you, to be in your word. And Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness, for your salvation, and for your grace that comes through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to proclaim your truth in love so that other people can know what we know. We're only here because of what you've done for us, not because of what we've done for ourselves. But help us to continue to proclaim your truth in love so that other people can know your truth and come into your kingdom and experience this amazing, intimate relationship with the God of the universe and receive eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matt's going to lead us in our closing song, and I'm going to be at the front worshiping along with you guys. If you'd like for me to pray with you, or you'd like to just come spend time with the Lord here at the front,